And then the fourth way of doing it is just following the central services formula for the individual stations. If you want to know how that would actually break down, I can give you the percentages by station, approximate once again, because there's a few competing methods of central service formula that are being entertained at this juncture, or that have been entertained in the recent, in the not too recent past, I guess. But this is how the breakdown would look if we use the central service formula. KPFA would be responsible for 34% to 37% of the payments. KPFK would be responsible for 29% to 31% of the payments. KPFT would be responsible for 10% to 11% of the payments. WBAI would be responsible for 9% to 15% of the payments. And WPFW would be responsible for 8% to 12% of the payments. Once again, this would hinge on the central services formula, which is another subject entirely. So it would hang the you know, the actual recommendation up until we came up with a central services formula, which is probably something that we should get to in the near future anyway. But those are the four things that the four ways I thought of to handle this. If I could rewind to the second one there, is there any feasible way of doing this by membership, and does anybody think that that's a terrible idea or a good idea?
This is Grace.
Go ahead.
Wait a minute, I want to try.
Okay.
I'll try my headphones.
You know, we do have the election numbers.
So
that basically gives the membership of each station the number of ballots that were sent out in this current election. But not that I'm suggesting that.
Of course.
And
I just what's even feasible. So
yeah, it's definitely feasible. We know how many ballots were sent out. So
okay, that's
simple.
All.
James for the stack.
Go ahead, James.
This
is a request for information. I think I'm just wondering how reflective of the current conditions the formulas for the central services responsibilities are with KPFK facing layoffs and not doing well. You know, I realize all the fund drives are not doing that well, but does the central services formula reflect the current status of the ability of the stations to contribute?
So the way I derived the numbers that I came up with, just to clarify that, is based on the most recent completed audit. So the answer to your question generically would be no, unless just by some miracle the performance of the stations was reflected in the history. It actually was based on a four-year average, so it was 2014 through 2017, and that is fairly distant in the past at this point. So no, it does not reflect current circumstances.
Thank you.
Sharon for the stock.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Okay,
Bill.
Chris, when you were saying those numbers, you know, KPFA 34% to 37%, KPFK 29% to 31%, those are not the current central service percentages. Where did you get those percentages?
Actually, they are. The current central services percentages fall within those ranges.
You say that, though, you mean like of the total. So KPFA is paying 34% to 37% of the total central service payment as a whole to
Correct.
Pacifica. Okay.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah, and that number probably seems astonishingly high to some of y'all, but
it does. I have to say, yes.
Yeah.
And so, and that is just based on the sort of the existing formula that's being used. Wait, is that what you just said on the numbers based from 2014 to 2017?
Correct. And
okay.
And if you want me to dive down a little bit further into that, I can explain how that worked too. And it's basically done on a revenue basis, but it is skewed a bit BAI and PFW were not it depends on which method you used. In some cases, it was within that range. There was a direct apportionment scenario as well. So if it was more directly apportioned, then KPFA would end up closer to the bottom of that range. And if it was more like it is now, it was more towards the top of that range.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. I'm wondering...
Bill, can you hear me?
Yeah, Bill, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead. I didn't interrupt you if you're still talking.
I was done. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't think equal amounts per station is going to work. WBII and WPFW are still struggling to make even central services payments, and this is going to be on top of that. Can't be in place of central services, so... I just don't think that's realistic until we can get WBAI and WPFW get the revenue up. And you kind of hinted at the central service problem is that, you know, for those of you kind of new to this, you know, several years ago we used to have central services based on the previous year's listener support figures. And then that varied from year to year some. And so then we went to, you know, this average of the last 3 or 4 years. But the last couple of years, we haven't even been doing that. It was sort of frozen because of the fact that we didn't have current financial figures, so we didn't really know what the listener support was, and that's also what's held up the audit. I mean, the budgets. So I'm not sure I like going to the old central services formula because it's several years old, like you were saying. So I'm kind of leaning more towards using the membership, and as Grace said, yeah, the most current measure is what the elections have. But I just think it would be simpler. An alternative would be readjust this after we get the FY18 audit done, and then we could at least use listener support values for FY18. That might be the most current that we have. Although I know it's less this year, but that's just a thought.
Yeah, as I've stated before, I agree with Bill on both of those points. I think the direct apportionment formula is not going to work for the same reason that it doesn't work for central services. You know, even as it's partitioned out right now, certain stations are unable to meet their central services, and adding to that is just going to mean that those stations won't pay that either. So I'm pretty opposed to the idea of evenly apportioning it. That would be the first option that I mentioned tonight. But I did want to present it because it was suggested. I'm not sure whether the revenue formula works any better than the central services formula because both of them require audits. And so it seems to me that the simplest way of doing it would be membership. I'm not sure how those numbers work out because I haven't actually run those numbers. It was just an idea that popped into my head when I was going through this whole thing.
Lyndon for the stack.
Go ahead, Lyndon.
I heard those numbers you put out earlier about 30% for I guess LA and 34 to 37 for Berkeley. And how low they were for, Houston and the East Coast. I think I would look at that and say maybe, okay, tell Houston 15% and New York and Washington both 10% and give some relief to the West Coast. Now, although it's just minimal relief and it pushes us a little bit. And of course, 20%, 20% for everybody is not going to work. We all know that. So that's it.
Okay. Anybody else want to comment?
Arpal?
I figured you'd come up eventually, Arpal. Go ahead.
Oh, my. yeah. The main thing we need to keep in mind is while we're doing whatever formula is this needs to work. We need to come up with something that will pay off the loan. Whatever kind of formula it is, you know, it could be anything. But it needs to work. So, yeah, I mean, obviously 20% from each station would be a formula for failure. In looking at your four here, let me scroll up to them again. Looking at your four different things here, the membership sounds like it could work. On the other hand, if your membership is quite frankly constituted of a whole lot of people who are, you know, trying to cure some disease they have, or you know, something along these lines, you may have a problem with generating more money out of that sector without coming up with more of the exact same thing. And I am concerned about diminishing returns regarding curing things and stuff like that. I mean, things around Pacifica now are largely premium-based, and I know that people scramble to try and find a good premium for any one thon, and then, you know, it goes and you see how it works, and people scramble during the thon to see, oh, no, this great premium failed. How about this other one? And, I mean, we're looking at a process of fundraising that is in itself rather chaotic. And so we're trying now to regularize something that is essentially chaotic, and I think that's a problem. I think the membership idea may be the one to try for, but on the other hand, since we're going with one and we might fall back to the number two way of paying this stuff, I suppose we could afford to have things not quite work out the first time we try it, but I just see that there could be a problem in the membership one, but I think it might be the only one that might have a chance of working. That's all I want.
This is James for the stack.
Fred for the stack. Fred for the stack.
I just want to agree with what R. Paul said. I believe that sounds correct to me.
Who was next?
Fred. I think we're just, you know, do I have the floor?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it seems to me that the one method that works for central services is probably the one we should probably use for the loan repayment, which is basically income-based. That's the income that the stations can actually raise, so the ones that are raising the most can probably pay the most on the loan. And membership also sort of tracks income, so that's, you know, that's sort of redundant in my view. There's no nice way to deal with this. Those stations that can raise the most are ones that are going to probably end up paying the most on the loan.
Request for information. James?
Mansour would like to be on stack.
I'm finished.
I would like to ask the last speaker what his opinion is of the statement that was made earlier that since we don't have our audits, we don't have current income information.
Well, we're starting to get to that information. We'll probably have it by the end of the year. And we sort of know which stations are raising the most, and we know which are raising the least amount of money and would have the most difficulty making payments. So, I mean, we're sort of, you know, tiptoeing around this issue, but I think the income based is the best way to look at it.
Thank you.
Okay. Mansoor, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's pretty wrong approach to go by the membership. Then you put in the burden on California, and you let in off the hook and not actually pressuring those other stations to come up with however they need to raise more funds. And I don't mean selling cookies, but, you know, whatever it is that they need to come up with some money. And it's not fair. And you're going to make everybody angry to go by membership. It's 20% for each radio station. And let those who cannot raise money fail at it so it can be documented that they couldn't raise the money. I understand central services, this and that, but let us document that the other stations are not able to bring $5,000 per month for this loan, for the interest of the loan. So, and we can document that, and then later on, corrective actions can be taken. Thank you.
Right, Mansoor. We've actually reached the end of our my 15 minutes there. It seems like we have a bit of hashing out to do on this particular aspect of this. I hate to let it go until the next meeting, but I think it might be for the best. Does anybody agree with me on this, or do we want to try and extend time yet again?
I just have a question, Nancy.
Nancy, go ahead.
So, I mean, I think I'm wondering if people are, you know, trying to figure out proportions, because what happens if all five stations cannot come up with the money? Where does the shortfall come from?
I think
it comes from the.
Yeah, it has to come from the escrow account in that situation, I believe.
Because the motion says none of it will come from the escrow account. So it can't come from the escrow account. It would have to come from the stations that can afford to pay. So if one station cannot afford to pay, the motion says it comes from the national office or it comes from the other stations.
No, the motion didn't
say. That's what the motion says.
No, the motion with the goal in mind, which means that we try to do that. In other words, you know, that the objective is to do that. But, of course, if we have no alternative other than to draw from the escrow account, that's what we're going to do. And, by the way, it is a recommendation. It's not a demand. So I don't think that the motion says that at all. It doesn't say we must. We have to.
Oh. It doesn't say where it will come. I mean, the alternative is, I mean, there's several alternatives. Is it could come from the other stations or the national office if it doesn't come from the escrow.
No, I think
it could come from the escrow, you know. And that decision will be made down the road if it's not in the motion.
I think we already passed the motion and it's been – okay, yes. Oh.
Well, it could be – at least it could be what do you call it? Amended.
I don't think there's an amendment necessary, but we certainly can discuss that. Who was next?
I just said I'm on the stack, but someone else might have been first.
James can go, then me.
I think that wanted to talk. Do we want to extend time on this, or do we want to actually, you know what? I think the next item is going to go fairly quickly, but let's continue discussing this for another 10 minutes. I'd like to make a motion to extend for another 10 minutes. Is there any objection to that?
So moved, no.
Okay.
Mansoor would like to be on stack.
Okay.
And Sharon would like to be on the stack.
Okay, Mansoor, Sharon, who was up before them? I'm sorry, there were two people that came up first.
Bill,
James?
But you can let them go first because I just spoke a few minutes ago.
Okay.
Yeah, you can let Sharon go first because I think I spoke and she hasn't.
Okay, go ahead, Sharon.
But there was somebody ahead of me. I don't know who it was.
I thought so, too.
I'll tell you it was me, Bill.
Okay.
Oh, yeah,
it was Bill, Mansoor, and Sharon.
Okay.
Okay. Well, okay, thank you, everybody. So
I understood, Chris, the motion to be what you were saying it was. So it wasn't like we could never, ever touch the escrow account. It was with an eye. I believe you said it was something with an eye towards not using it, that not using the escrow account, with the goal of being that the stations pay. And it is, true that, as I said before, the finances are such as they are that we pass motions that, maybe aren't quite in keeping with what the financial reality is. So I understood that when I voted for that. But regarding the membership question, I actually, even though I was originally a 20% across the board kind of person, I kind of agree that membership is perhaps in a certain way more equitable, to use that word, I guess. And I would like to make the point that, yes, membership is important, and what we see is that on the PNB, that's where the membership doesn't matter, and the stations do all have 20% representation. And so what happens is stations that are not doing very well and are really not carrying their weight are given quite a disproportionate voice on the PNB to influence the outcome of decisions. So as Mansoor kind of hinted at, here within California, it's like we will end up paying one way or the other. If there's no money, there's no money. And if California stations have money, then it's going to come from California. So in the sense, we are being taxed without representation, you might say, because we raise the money, but we don't have proportional say in how it's spent, given that we are raising a greater proportion of it. So I just want to make that point. And I also really want to make the point that I think we need to start focusing on cutting costs and stop talking about increasing revenue, because I don't understand how people can even possibly think that we're going to increase revenue at this point. So we need to get realistic and start talking about cutting costs at the stations that need to have their costs cut because they are continuously losing money. And then maybe it would feel different if we weren't continually supporting failing stations. I'm sorry to use that word, but that's how it feels. And then being asked to pay even more. So there is a bit of that feeling that's coming out. And I really don't understand why the PNB has been unable to take action to prevent the continuing losses that are happening on the East Coast stations. And I will again say that I think we need to start focusing on cutting costs and stop talking about increasing revenue.
Thanks, Sharon. Mansoor?
Yes, thank you. So I want to bring up a couple of points. Number one, please don't think that the general managers at both radio stations have robbed the bank and they stash all that cash in their office and they don't know what to do with it. They have the same problems as anybody else, but we try to diversify and bring money in. So you can't just say California would do this and that. No way. We have our own problems here. We have our own shortcoming of money as well. And two, again, we really have to hold people accountable. This is the business side of this foundation, and everybody is loosey-goosey about business. If it was your own business and you had no money, you would have thought things a little bit differently. You would have folded. So we can't just say, oh, New York doesn't have enough. It has five members, and so they pay $5, and then California has 200 members, they pay 200. It doesn't work like this. We got to be even and fair across the board, and the fair is 20%, and let those who cannot handle fulfilling the task, let them fail, and then there's consequences, and they have to pay the consequences. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Phil.
Okay, thank you. We do need, I think I agree with what Sharon was saying. We do need to cut costs as well as try to work on increasing revenue. I think we should be able to increase revenue some. We've had some drops that I hope can be reversed. But I guess my message is that I think we need to support management in doing whatever they need to do to cut costs and increase revenues. And it may take some work from some of us, and we may need to help out with that. I don't know what it's going to be in terms of, calling people or getting lapsed members back or whatever it is, but we probably are going to have to do both. And I just don't think it's realistic, though, to expect we're going to be getting a lot more from WBI or WPFW unless we change some things, because, you know, we need to help them do better. I don't know quite what the right answer is, but, you know, we've been talking about this for a number of years, and it hasn't happened. So clearly we have to be doing some things differently. And KPFK is really hurting right now, too. Their cash flow is really serious, and I think we probably need to look at this a little bit more after we get the FY18 audit figures, and maybe that will give us a little better idea, but that's still going to be essentially a year ago. Anyway, I guess the main message is I think we should help support management and figure out what we need to do. John's traveling around all the stations to get ideas and compare notes and see what's working and what's not. And we have to support them, I think, and bite the bullet and do what we need to do. I think we have to make those interest payments. And I do like the idea of, again, not tapping into that reserve account, because if we have some chance of getting this loan refinanced, it's going to depend really strongly on demonstrating that we can pay regular interest payments, at least starting in December. If we can't do that, we're kind of doomed. So we got to do whatever it takes to do that, or we're going to have problems with, you know, when it comes time for the loan being due. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bill, can I get on stack?
Who is that?
Bill, I'm sorry, it's John. Chris?
John? Go ahead, John.
Yeah, just a quick thank you, Bill. This is, you know, just to kind of hit at this, because I think it's really going to help us. You know, we're at a point where hopefully, you know, in talking to Tamara, we'll be able to get our cash flow situation sorted within the next 2 to 3 weeks. I was hoping it was going to be sooner, but we've had some issues with finalizing the audit. But here's the thing, is if we can really look at what our run rates are to really kind of suss this out from an integrated department. You know, integrating what's happening across the network, because we also have to look at the archives as shortfalls expected on the archive side of things. We have to look at all these numbers, and the quickest we're going to get them from Tamara is going to be mid-September and really projecting out. And then we'll have a much better idea of what's realistic based on the current set of membership dollars coming in. Clearly, there's two campaigns that we're working on to see if we can generate additional revenue, but, you know, again, we're still planning it out and thinking it through. So I think we're going to need a couple of weeks, certainly, to see the cash flow. And I think we'll be in a much better position to talk about this reasonably. So we're just going to need a little bit more time to really get a sense of how to approach this.
Okay.
Nick, for this back.
Go ahead, Nick.
Well, I just have to say to our partners in California that there are comments about failed business models at the stations are somewhat simplistic in their review, because the stations themselves don't act completely autonomously. WBAI and WPFW don't hire their general managers. Pacifica does. WBAI and WPFW weren't responsible for all the decisions that went into the financial situations that the stations are in, i.e. the lack of CPB funding for the last 6 years that was crucial to those stations. So those are just two examples, and I would just request that these, I'd say, vitriolic comments that come from our partners, just consider that Pacifica is actually a network, and the decisions that are made are not solely made at the local station basis. They're made on the national level. And to chastise and characterize the stations as failures is pretty unfair and actually without merit in a lot of ways. And so if we truly want to turn things around, I think we should start acting like a network and less like five autonomous stations that point fingers at each other when they think the others aren't doing the job. So, if you want to have a deep discussion about what the stations have done to turn around the situations that they've been in since 2013, we can have that. But I would just ask folks to refrain from these derogatory comments that they make without having the facts.
Mansoor would like to be a stat. Mansoor would like to be a stat.
Our Paul would like to be in a stat.
Oh man! Okay.
No. I'm sorry, Chris. One second, please. You know, we just took a couple of punches in the face, and I think you should allow Sharon and I to make comments before we go forward.
Okay. Well, this we've run out of time once again for this item. We still have to hear from Tamara, and I have my little internal motion regarding the subcommittee. And we only have 10 minutes left in the meeting.
Sure. I would like to have an apology from Nick right now for his comment. And if he doesn't, I'd be happy to go down the tube with him right now in the open session meeting. So, Nick, please apologize to Sharon and I for what we said.
I don't need an
point
apology.
Of order.
Please don't speak for me. And I just want to say I do have facts, Nick, and I can lay them out for you if you'd like. We could start with the transmitter that got lost on its way to New York City, which still has never been explained. We could start with the fact that New York has lost $120,000 this year alone. Okay, so, and I did say that the PNB needs to do something about what's happening there. I did not say it was on the backs of the stations to do it. I said the PNB needs to do something. That's exactly what I said.
Mr. Chair, I call for the orders of the day.
Yeah, we are done with this item, I'm afraid. I'm going to have to continue this until our next meeting, and I would suggest that all of you think deeply about how it's not. I would suggest that we adapt.
Mr. Chair, I've called for the orders of the day.
Right, I understand
that's
that.
It.
And
let's go. Next item.
Next item would be a report from the interim CFO, Tamara Swiderski. We were going to do this 2 weeks ago, and unfortunately we weren't able to get on the call. So if she could please review there was kind of a list of things that I was interested in hearing from her that I made in an earlier version of the agenda, but I've lost that list now, but I think Tamara knows what they are. So can you give us your report, Tamara?
Yes, I can, and I'll be brief given the time. An update on the audits. I think everyone knows that the FY17 audit is done. All the tax filings and state filings related to that for FY17 have been done. And actually for FY18, they've been done, but they will probably be amended after the audit is complete for 18. George is the staff person at NETA working on the audit. He's in full swing and has been in contact with all of the station managers and is desperately trying to pull everything together to get that wrapped up as soon as we can. Let's see. As you know, I'm still working on getting current year data caught up, and we have enlisted a couple more staff people at NETA to help get that done. I've sent out all the budget templates to all the treasurers, and I think I've spoken to all of them briefly. They've all responded, but I think I've only actually spoken to one in depth, so I've got to get the rest of those meetings scheduled. As John mentioned, my focus right now is going to be on getting some cash flow information together so we can have some better, more current information to work with to make some important decisions. So I did send out the March financials. There really wasn't, you know, a whole lot different than the February ones. There was a narrative that went along with that. I don't know that it makes sense for me to read through that. But if anyone has any questions on it, they're welcome to pose them now or email me, either one.
I would like to. Go ahead, Tim.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, and if there's anything else you wanted an update on that I didn't cover, you know, obviously you can let me know.
Okay. There was one comment that I wanted to make about the interim financials through March, and this is also something that John and I discussed in a station visit to KPFA, and that's that the revenue numbers are down about 8% on a year-to-date basis over last year. That is actually pretty much in line with what public media is seeing across the board. So it's not that Pacifica is performing badly. It's that public media this year is not performing especially well. We're right in line with the rest of public media, and that's, you know, neither a good or a bad thing. I mean, it's bad for us as an institution, but we're not underperforming, at least, relative to, quote, the competition, unquote, if you care to view it that way. So I was actually relatively pleased with the interims, although they definitely don't say to me that we're going to have smooth sailing in the foreseeable future. And I think I would also generally agree with Sharon's statement earlier that that we should start looking at possible cutting measures as well. And I know that that's an unpleasant topic, but it's probably something that we should entertain on a relatively short-term basis. Is there anybody who has any questions for Tamara? I would like them to keep them short, as I would like to cover our one remaining item in the 5 minutes that we have left. Nobody? Okay. Am I still I'm hoping I'm still connected, yes?
We hear you, Chris.
Okay.
Some questions for John Verniel as well as Tamara?
Sure, but I don't believe John had any statement, not in this meeting anyway. I don't quite know how to handle this at this point because we only have 3 minutes left. I should really.
Well, I could ask Tamara as well the same question, I think, because he said they were working together on campaign.
I'll entertain one question. Go ahead.
So I was wondering, what are the campaigns that are being worked on that John referred to?
I would have to defer to John on that.
John, can you keep it short? John?
As I mentioned, we're working on it on a staff level. We're still in process. Again, I'm still in the middle of it. We're still too early to talk about it.
Okay. Thank you, John. So I had this idea over the last couple of weeks that we might be able to breach this impasse with the loan documents by forming a subcommittee. A number of us actually have these documents on hand. And so what we would basically do is form a subcommittee of the people that actually have access to the loan documents. And that subcommittee of the NFC would review any possible conflicts that come up. So if there were any specific proposals within the NFC over which there were concerns that there might be conflicts with the loan, they could be forwarded to the subcommittee, and we'd review them against the loan documents and basically offer a Roman vote or an opinion on them. And that, I think, will get us past the impasse. But let me just read to you what I had suggested as a motion. So this was the motion I put together. I sent it out, I think, yesterday. But I'll just read it to you verbatim, including the introduction. So my entire email is as follows. The lender is getting irritated about the committee and Pacifica pushing for discovery on the loan issue. Rather than pushing this matter further and putting the loan and its possible renewal at risk, I have an alternate proposal. Given that the loan is a massive, technical, and unwieldy document, and given that the lender has no desire to have the details of this document made public, and given that certain members of the board already have copies of the document, and given that the NFC is charged with certain duties which require knowledge of the loan provision, and given that the proposals of the NFC may be asserted in direct conflict with the loan provisions, and given the need for all members not to waste their time on such proposals, therefore it is proposed that a loan review subcommittee be established within the NFC, which will ascertain whether or not certain proposals entertained by the NFC are in conflict with the loan or not. The loan review subcommittee shall consist of the IED, Bill Crozier, Chris Corey, and anyone else with knowledge of the loan who is capable of researching and answering the questions brought by the NFC. So that was the motion I would like to bring. I don't think we need to elevate this to the PNB since this is all internal stuff. I guess I'll entertain questions on it, although technically we're out of time right now.
Mr. Chair?
It would be easier if we could just go to a vote on this, but if there are pressing questions, I'm certainly willing to entertain them.
Our poll for a fast, how about this? The way it's worded is really unwieldy, and you want to create a subcommittee, so why don't you have the motion be, you know, get rid of the preamble, all those givens, and say to – motion would be to create a loan review subcommittee, let's see – which will ascertain whether or not certain proposals contained by the, you know,
let me read that, okay? Ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. It is proposed that a loan review subcommittee be established in the NFC, which will ascertain whether or not certain proposals entertained by the NFC are in conflict with the loan or not. The loan review subcommittee shall consist of the IED, Bill Crozier, Chris Corey, and anyone else with knowledge of the loan who is capable of researching and answering questions brought by the NFC.
All right. So, yeah, what I'm looking at is to create a loan subcommittee of the NFC, which will ascertain whether or not certain proposals contained by the NFC are in conflict with the loan or not. The loan review subcommittee shall consist of now the IED, and then you name two people, and then it says, and anyone else with knowledge of the loan. This becomes, you're going to have a subcommittee that's going to be a little bit squishy here. I mean, is that like, you know?
I understand that. So I'm not actually, it's not actually clear to me who has the loan documents. I don't know whether. I don't know what to do about that.
why don't we ask the directors on this call who has that information and put those names in there?
Okay, that's fine. We can do that, I suppose. Would anyone like to volunteer who has I have it and Bill has it. I know that for sure, and I believe our IED has it, which is why I listed those three people. Who else on this committee has copies of the loan?
I guess you should know that I have copies of it because I'm the former chair, Nancy.
Okay, Nancy has copies.
I'm just surprised. You didn't mention my name before.
Anyone else?
I didn't know Bill had copies.
Yeah, Bill was on the PNB when these documents were distributed.
Well, everybody on the PNB got copies of it, you know?
Yeah, we all did.
No, we didn't.
Some people may have lost them, but I think they were all sent out by Tom Livingston.
Yep.
Okay. I didn't think everybody did.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Some people.
Okay. So anyone other than Bill, myself, Nancy, and the IED? Okay, I think that's a suitable subcommittee anyway. We don't want it to get overly large. So just add Nancy's name to that list,
right,
if you could, our Paul.
Yeah, okay, let me see. So So I'm thinking that your motion becomes to create a quote loan review subcommittee of the NFC, which shall ascertain whether or not certain proposals contained by the NFC are in conflict with the loan or not. The loan review subcommittee shall consist of the IED, Bill Crozier, Chris Corey, and Nancy Sorden. Period?
That's fine.
Okay.
So we're out of time on this. Can we go to a vote?
Why don't you ask if there's objection?
Is there any objection to this motion?
Sure.
Okay. Mansoor, would you care to voice your objection?
No, it's just not necessary.
Okay. Well, the committee seemed to feel that it was necessary, which is why, you know, why I bothered wasting my time on this. It seemed like there was a juggernaut here coming down the road, in that a number of members of the committee had serious concerns that any proposals that they brought before the committee would be in conflict with the loan. And it seemed like we would be wasting our time spinning our wheels potentially in that situation, or that proposals would simply not be brought forward that could be of benefit both the NFC and to the foundation. And so this seemed like a way around that impasse. But since there is an objection, we should do a roll call on this.
Okay. Does anybody need the motion reread? Okay, hearing none. All those givens are off it, so okay. Sharon Adams.
Yes.
Nick Arena.
Yes.
Fred Blair.
Yes.
Chris Corey.
Yes.
Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Lyndon Foley.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin, yes. Mansoor Sabah.
No.
James Sagerton.
Yes.
Nancy Sorden.
Yes.
Tamara Swiderski.
Yes.
Okay, 10-4, 1 against.
All right, so we're out of time. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Are there any objections to that motion? Hearing none, we are adjourned. Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night.